Good evening, Jim. Welcome to the Space Show.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
I remember as a child, we knew nothing about the bottom of the ocean. And then during the International Geophysical Year and in the decades following, ships crisscrossed, like the Glomar Challenger, ships crisscrossed the ocean, measuring, using sonar, the depth of the ocean. And gradually, bit by bit, this amazing world appeared. And, you know, suddenly there was plate tectonics.
Yes.
And suddenly continental drift wasn't a harebrained idea. It was a proven fact. Now, this took decades to do this mapping. And yet, with this GEOS satellite that you've worked with, suddenly there was this map of the ocean, not as detailed as the oceanographic people had done, but still this amazing map of the bottom of the ocean.
Yeah.
How was that done from a satellite, from this GEOS satellite?
Okay, you're moving ahead to the third thing now. I've said tides and the movement of the water. Maybe it should have been the second thing, but it doesn't matter what order in principle. The other thing that changes the height of the sea surface is the gravity, because the water finds its own level in a gravity field, but the gravity field is tipped around a little bit by the fact that the Earth isn't perfectly a smooth sphere. And, for example, an interesting thing one can sort of picture in one's head, if you have a seamount in the ocean, that is, you imagine a totally flat ocean, down underneath it is this mountain that comes up from 5,000 meters deep near the surface and goes down again. Now, what does the gravity do over that? What does the sea surface do at that point? And I remember when I first started thinking about oceanography and this sort of thing, I reasoned quite cleverly to myself that the sea surface would dip over the surface of a seamount, right? Because the seamount weighs tons, and you can imagine the gravity going up and the sea going down.
And then the sea dips?
No, it doesn't. That's the problem. You want to confuse students. You start off with this explanation, and you can see how logical. Of course, the sea dips when it goes over the seamount, because the seamount weighs so much; it just pulls everything down.
Yes.
But it doesn't. The sea finds its own level at right angles to the local gravity, and now you have to think of: here's this massive seamount, and all gravity is sort of tilting in towards the seamount, right? So if you draw a line at right angles to all those lines, the sea actually goes up over the seamount. Okay, this is the prize-winning question. Right, so over seamounts you have humps in the sea surface. And that is something people have done, seamount searches all over the Pacific, for example, looking for humps. And I remember attending US Navy presentations where they had very sophisticated hump detectors to work with altimetry, and we're looking for these. But the point is, not only can you see seamounts, but you see all the topography as a signal from this altimeter. And now you start wondering, okay, you've just got the surface of the sea. How do you know whether this hump is due to a seamount or due to movement of the water? Because to make a hump, you just need circling water. That'll make either a hump or a dip, depending on which way it goes. And the answer, of course, is that when water left to itself circles in the ocean, it tends not to circle in the same place. Eddies tend to wander. And the altimeter would see this. I mean, any wandering seamounts are probably eddies. We don't believe seamounts wander.
So that's a little like the eddies in a river.
That's right.
And if you look at them closely, you see they're in fact slightly depressed below the average river level, and of course they tend to break off and drift down.
And
but that's
drift
because
down.
The river is flowing.
But now you've got to, now we've got to get into the physics again, because in a river the eddy is spinning fast enough, the centrifugal force is keeping it as a dip in the surface. We're not talking of any speed near where centrifugal force matters, but it's circling very slowly, but on a circling Earth. And you have to look at the way the physics affects that. It's the kind of thing oceanographers are supposed to do instinctively. But the interesting thing there is that everything changes sign when you go across the equator. So that we really feel that Australian oceanographers are a breed apart.
Well, perhaps we could finish this this conversation by saying, asking you, we've talked about the spinning effect and so on. And if you want to start an argument, you argue, which way does the water go down the bath plug? And does it go down the northern hemisphere different or Dublin? Have you tried it while you're here in Australia?
I have not tried it while I've been here in Australia, largely because the hotel I checked into was of the cheaper variety, where all I have is a shower.
Oh dear. Okay, well, thanks for joining us tonight on the Space Show, Jim.
Okay, you're welcome. Thank you.